Hey guys, good morning to you. Hope everybody's doing well. I think I'm doing well, just a little tired, getting ready to go into work, but just want to stop real quick and just give you all a quick update on the inguinal hernia. So this Monday, today is Friday, early in the week, I had the consultation with Dr. Eliason, and it was real great. It really was. I sat down with my wife and I, and of course, you know, he went over what causes the hernia, even showing the diagram on the pamphlet of, you know, what it looks like, and just talked about the different processes, which one will be, one is the incision versus the laparoscopic, and, you know, what he prefers, and that being the laparoscopic as well. And it just, you know, in the conversation, you know, he continued to just give us information. He actually showed us the mesh or type of mesh that would be used. And it actually looked pretty big. It was like the size of my palm. And I was like, man, that's kind of big. He's like, well, what it is that when they use the mesh, they don't want the mesh to be the size of the hole. And just like anything else, if you're patching a hole on a piece of cloth, you don't want that patch to be the same size of the cloth, because as you wear it, as you move on or make movements, it will tend to pull apart. So naturally, they made the mesh larger than the hole so that it will cover the hole and then some. So the methods for adhering the mesh to the tissue, one is with stitches, the other being a tack. And I saw this on a video as well, and it was, to me, this stuff is just cool. It really is. But he says he prefers both the laparoscopic and using a tack adhesive on the mesh. And I told him, I said, you know, when I was speaking to my manager about the surgery, because he had one as well, he said, you know, from time to time, he can still feel the mesh. It's not necessarily discomforting, but he could kind of feel the mesh or the area where it is. So I asked Dr. Eliason about that, and he said, over time, you definitely will feel it. Not that it's so prevalent to you, but you'll notice it. And the thing is, it's a change to your body. And let me add that. Anytime that you make a change to your body, you're always going to notice it, and you should. So, you know, in that, it was just making me, as I'm saying this now, it just makes me think about how many changes we go through our body, that goes through our body, that we tend to forget or not pay attention to. And even, you know, even the smallest little thing, you know, this hernia, I had noticed some months ago, but I really didn't think much of it because it wasn't painful. And I've had hernias before, you know, a pulled groin, and I just figured that it will, like any other groin injury, in its time it would heal and go away. But I didn't realize that it was an inguinal hernia, where it's actually your inside coming out through the stomach lining. So, you know, that's definitely more severe, but not necessarily life-threatening per se. So, you know, he was also talking about how he has seen some people let the hernia go too long, and it just became so detrimental to their life that, you know, they kind of had no choice but to go ahead and take it out. Whereas mine, yeah, I could leave it as it is for a little bit longer, but that's not a healthy way of thinking about things. You know, if you see it at this time, go ahead and take care of it. And this is another part I want to get into, but let me say this first. So at the end of the consultation with Dr. Eliason, we ended up speaking with his scheduler, or his surgeon scheduler, something like that. And, you know, my wife was with me, and this was just really a funny portion of it, is that My wife used to work in the medical field in a doctor's office, so she knows all the code, or at least remembers the codes and the processes and how things go and how patients feel. And, you know, she's on both sides of it because she's had to deal with this, not just in the doctor's office, but also in her younger age where she had to take care of a family member. So there was a lot on her plate, and she got very knowledgeable about how these things go. So as we're sitting down speaking to the scheduler, my wife is in the corner with pen and paper writing down every little thing that she says. And, you know, of course we have the questions that we come in with, but some tend to pop up just as well, so that you know, we're making sure that we're crossing all our T's, dotting our I's. And overall, the consultation went well. Okay, so this is the part I want to talk about that's very important that relates to insurance. So we went to the checkout, and the fee was $245. I literally screamed inside of myself. I'm like, what? Well, luckily I had, well, let me not say luckily. I thank God that I was wise enough to begin using an FSA card some years ago. And what the FSA card is it's called your flexible spending account. You also have an HRA and an HSA, your health savings account, and a health reimbursement account just as well. And because of that, because, you know, I set that aside every year at the beginning of the new year, because our insurance registration season is around October to take effect for the upcoming year. So this year, you know, of course I had my FSA again, but I don't think I had as much on it that I did last year. However, I did have money rolled over from the previous term into this next term. So luckily I had that right. But, you know, as my wife and I left, I was kind of just taken back by that fee. And I'm like, why is it $245? You know, because I'm used to going to the doctor and having a copay that's probably $50, right? And that's what I was expecting it to be. So, you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, he has to be out of network in order to have that kind of fee being paid. And then the question was, I'm like, well, I thought the referral from my doctor's office looked at everything that was in network to my insurance, that being United Healthcare. I'm like, well, why would they send me to an out-of-network doctor? That makes no sense. So we got back to the house, and my wife and I, we're making calls. We're getting online with United Healthcare, and we asked them if Dr. Eliason was in network. And for some reason, she couldn't find him. So we're like, okay, he's out of network. So now we need to find a doctor that's in network, and we need to verify. So my wife and I, she took off the day to spend with me so that we could get everything done. And I'm glad she did, because there was a lot more that we did not expect to do, and that was making the phone calls. So here we are sitting down next to each other on Google, trying to find these doctors that are part of the network. I eventually sent a message back to my PCP and saying, hey, I went today for the consultation, ended up paying $245, and apparently he is not in network from what we found through the provider. So can you please get us a referral for an in-network doctor, right? So that was Monday. I want to say Tuesday, if not Wednesday, I got a referral for another doctor. I pulled him up, or I looked him up in Google. He's in the same office as Dr. Eliason, right? I'm like, okay, this makes no sense. None at all. So I went online to the United Healthcare site, because as you're a member of that insurance group, you can go online, find your PCP, all the doctors that you need for any kind of procedure in this world, basically. So I went through and I found Dr. Eliason. And he's in network and he's a tier one provider. And what that means is if there is one thing for them to be in network, but they could be a tier one or tier two. The tier two compared to a tier one basically is the difference is how much you pay out of pocket. For a tier one, it's 70-30 where you pay 30 out of pocket. With a tier two, I believe it's 60-40 where you're paying 40 out of pocket. So naturally, you want a tier one provider, right? So I'm like, I'm kind of confused now. So I said, and speaking with my wife, I said, you know what? I'm going to call the doctor's office again and verify that he is in network. So I spoke with them yesterday. And she said, yeah, he's in network. That's the first thing we do before we schedule anything. So I'm like, okay, so I don't know what's going on with him being in network and not being found in the system when I spoke with a representative the other day. So nonetheless, guys, it's not even about procedures. When you're in the open season of enrollment for your insurance, take time to get more information relating to your in-network and out-of-network doctors, your tier one, tier two providers, what you'll pay and what you won't pay, basically, right? And also your deductible. And that's the thing for me right now is that my deductible hasn't been met, and that's $2,350 because I really don't go to the doctor. There's nothing, which is a blessing, that I don't have to. The only appointments I normally have are the yearly evaluations with my PCP, my physical every year, and my eye doctor. But now that lets me know that I need to do more utilizing my insurance so that my deductible is met. Because now what happens for me is that when I go through this surgery, I'm paying, you know, the 30%, but I also have to pay what's needed for that deductible as well. However, that's where the FSA card comes in, is that I at least have a portion of that on the card that I can utilize for the payment, right? So, guys, I just want to let you know your insurance is more important than you think. Don't take it just to be for your yearly evaluation, your eyes or your ears, or just getting over-the-counter medicines. And that's another good thing about the FSA card too. Instead of coming out of your pocket, your wallet, or your bank account, your FSA card can be utilized for all of your medical procedures, purchasing over-the-counter medications. Matter of fact, they have an FSA store online, which that's great in itself, but I have to let you know those products are almost double the price. There's a high markup online where you can find, and I've done this before because I tend to have migraines. Buying Excedrin migraine online, let's say, is $50 for two bottles, right? Well, I could go to Walmart and get those same two bottles for about $15, right? Big markup. But nonetheless, still utilize what you have because you don't want to waste that, because you're only allowed to carry over so much or roll over so much to the next year. I think this year I thought the rollover amount was under 1,000, but apparently it was up to 2,000 that you could carry over. So that's awesome. But guys, please take care of yourself. Do what you need to with your insurance. Listen, but sit down with your spouse and discuss the things relating to your health and how you can go about becoming better for yourself and for them. All right, guys, quick update on the hernia, and I'll let you know here in a couple of weeks what the next step will be. All right, have a blessed day.